Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Cannabis Minority Report. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today on the report, we're speaking with Larry Smith, who's an entrepreneur in the Las Vegas area. And Larry, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, according to the information that I was given, you are currently the chief executive officer of G5 Cultivation, which is noted as the first ever African-American licensed medical marijuana cultivation farm in Clark County, which is, of course, the county there for Las Vegas. When did you get started in this?
The process actually started about 3 years ago when Clark County announced that they would be formulating, getting ready to start the medical marijuana program. As you know, Vegas started a while ago, probably about 12 years ago, 10 years ago, and they just kind of sat on it. And then they finally started the process of getting everything going. And so about 3 years ago, and for us, we built our own, we actually built our own facility. So it's taken us a little bit longer, but we're up and running and we're good to go.
We've read all sorts of accounts of other states that have medical or legalized marijuana that present difficulties for African Americans and other minorities trying to get involved. Laws that prevent people with previous convictions, for example, from getting licenses, or license fees that are so high that few African Americans have the wealth to get involved in this. Did you find that to be the case in Nevada with your applications and your attempts to get involved?
Yeah, we actually did. You know, a lot of it was the language. I think that now that I look back upon it, it was just the language. I mean, when you read a sentence that says that you have to have $250,000 liquid, that tends to scare a lot of people away. For me, I understood what it meant, and obviously, I had it. I had it, so I was able to do it. The information that I started to gain as we got going, you know. What I think more African Americans need to do in our community is we need to start pooling our money together and started forming those corporations. Because I saw a lot of people that I knew that were getting into the cannabis industry that I didn't know their financials, but I had a good idea that they weren't all the way $250,000 liquid, and they just pooled their money together. And I think that was one of the biggest misconceptions, is that we had to have that money. You know, the one single person had to have it, and it scared people off. And then, as you know, in the African-American community, minority community, we have a lot of people who have been arrested for those type of drug possessions that have felonies, and that excluded them immediately. So to me, I felt like there's definitely an exclusionary process that's taking place around the country. In other places, I've seen that the fee as high as $500,000 to $1 million, you know, to be liquid. So that's eliminating a lot of people in general, but primarily African-Americans, Latinos.
You know, folks working on this in the city of Oakland, as well as some of the medical applications going on in Maryland, have focused on this need for more inclusion, more diversity. And in Oakland, they went as far as proposing, you know, providing some sort of affirmative action where more licenses would go to the neighborhoods and the people who'd been disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs. Do you think we need those sorts of programs, or do we just need to open up the process to be fair to everyone? What would you suggest to bring more inclusivity into our industry?
Well, you know, listen, this is America, and I feel like it should have been open to everyone, you know, but, you know, there's such a fear of the cartels, and they give you all these things, but, you know, this is America, you know, and there's a lot of things that are taking place that I definitely don't think are cool, that you know, these backdoor deals that are done and these certain groups. You know, I had a guy told me the other day they were going to open it up in Vegas, and he was really concerned. And I'm, you know, to me, you know, look at, you know, coming from, you know, the background of the area I grew up in, you know, we call it hustling on a crowded block. And this is the one thing that they definitely don't want. They don't want to open it up to everyone, because a lot of people are putting millions and millions of dollars into these businesses. That definitely won't happen. You know, but listen, it's America. I feel like everyone should have been able to partake in this. I don't think cannabis is one of those drugs that's, you know, it's baffling to see that it's on the Schedule 1, you know, along with heroin and other things. And I don't see it being that drug, you know, and I feel like it helps a lot of people. And I don't know, it's weird how they've kind of scheduled this thing. You know, there's a lot of fear in the industry, a lot of unknowns, and, you know, I will commend Vegas for taking the time to try to put things in and try to look at other places. You know, as far as the diversity, we just got to figure that out as a community ourselves.
Now, on your in your efforts there, I also noticed that it's not just G5 cultivation that you're working with, but you're expanding into other areas. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your endeavors?
So G5 is a brand, and you know what we've done is we don't want to just be in Vegas. We understand that Vegas will be a great hub for us. There's a lot of Vegas has over 45 million visitors that come through Las Vegas in within a year's period. So we want to be able to expand and go other places, you know, and we want to be able to help other minority communities get up and going in those places. Like, we have the information, all the infrastructure. So we want to be able to take G5. We've been contacted by the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, to go other places, LA, to go other places, Atlanta, Detroit. So when those places come online, G5 wants to be there. It's a brand for us. It's not just, it's, you know, for me, it wasn't just about selling cannabis, you know, to for the namesake. It's truly about helping people. And I feel like the cannabis does help a lot of people in a lot of different areas. And I really wanted to be a part of that portion. The one thing I've always said, and I've said this for years, we don't worship the money. You know, we want to be able to make a difference in people's lives. So it's not about making a dollar. It's truly about helping people. We want to be one of those type of companies that, you know, listen, I have friends that have lupus, and you know, we have one of the ladies on our staff actually helps create caramels, and she's able to take the pain from a level 10 to maybe a level 4. And that gives me pride and joy to know that we're able to help someone in that way. I'm not saying we're going to be able to cure anything, because I never want to make those claims. But listen, if we can make someone's quality of life better, then I feel like we're doing our job.
I'm so glad to hear that. And being able to expose people to these aspects of cannabis, I think, is the best way of changing hearts and minds. We know through the polls that older folks still resist the legalization of cannabis. And especially when we look at older folks in minority communities, they'll believe their deacon, their church, their pastor that spread all these scare stories about marijuana and drugs. And do you find more older people are coming into your facilities and learning the truth about cannabis?
Absolutely. The tide is definitely changing. And I think that the people are understanding that they've been kind of hoodwinked a little bit. You know, I think the people are starting to understand that, hey, listen, it's just what I said. You have people that are going through arthritis. And there's things out there that can truly help. Like I said, just alleviate the pain. And I think people are starting to wake up to that, and they're understanding that, you know, when they say this, you know, the old adage, you know, when they crack an egg and they put in the skillet, this is your brain on drugs. I feel like the tide is starting to shift a little bit, and people are understanding that, you know, that this isn't the zombie mentality that they've kind of portrayed, you know, and I think the older generation is definitely coming out. You'd be surprised how many older folk that we do have that come into the dispensary side and are purchasing.
Are there any difficulties in the rollout of Nevada's recreational market that have you concerned, and any changes you'd like to see to make Nevada's programs, both medical and recreational, work a little better?
Well, you know, for me, you know, I was a little disappointed in the medical program, just because I felt like, you know, I felt like the state, I'm going to say, you know, I'll probably get in trouble for it, but I feel like this, you know, some of these guys they're being greedy. You know, this should be a medical program, all the way around the board. There should be, you know, no recreational. I think that they created the recreational so they can collect the taxes on it. And, you know, that's just me. And I've had some politicians get a little pissed at me about saying that, but it is what it is. This is a medicine. I mean, it should be taxed at a 2%. So if it was up to me, I like to keep it at a medical level, and so that way people can go get their medical cards. They shouldn't be harassed. It, you know, there's a lot of things that I feel like it's part of the HIPAA system. So I feel like if you have a medical condition, that's no one's business what you should be doing. And the tax is at a 2%. You know, it's strange to me that you can go get an OxyContin and oxycodone or whatever they, you know, all the pills, and they're taxed at 2%. And those get you higher than a kite, you know. Yeah. I've had friends that have died from prescription drugs, and it's at a 2% tax. So I guess the biggest thing for me is I've always felt like recreational is one thing, but I feel like the tax should be there. So if it was up to me, man, I would love to see more people get involved in the medical portion, and then that way they're paying a cheaper tax for it. I just feel like this kind of the recreational thing is a big money grab. And like I said, for us, we're not in it for the money grab. I mean, we truly want to help change the lives or give people that are struggling with any kind of ailment a better quality of life. And it's just that simple for us.
That's great to hear. Larry Smith is with the Chief Executive Officer with G5 Cultivation, also a managing member of G5 Medical Consultants and G5 Media. Look for the G5 brand all around Las Vegas and coming soon.
All around,
to
that's
a state near you, right. Larry, can you give them some contact information on the web if they want to look this up and get more info?
So the G5 Cultivation, we're on Instagram at G5 Cultivation. And we're on Facebook, G5 Cultivation as well, G5 Cultivation Las Vegas, I believe. And reach out, and we look to hear from people. We try to be real and honest. You know, this is something that's near and dear to Sean and I, and we just try to be honest. We're not going to give you something that we're not. So it's a real honest thing for us. And like I said, we truly want to make a difference in the world and help people have a better quality of life.
Larry Smith with G5, thanks so much for being with us here on the Marijuana Agenda. We appreciate your contributions.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I really do appreciate you. We really do. Thank you so much, brother.